Like to share with you this morning a devotion by Professor Roland Gergel. Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David's life had not been easy. As a shepherd boy, he faced lion and bear. He went out to meet Goliath. He fled from King Saul for years, endured wars, was betrayed by his own son. Many of his psalms begin with cries of distress. Why are you so far from helping me, O Lord? And yet they end in confidence. Looking back over all those years, David says, I have not seen the righteous forsaken. When David speaks of bread, he means more than food on the table. Daily bread includes everything needed for this bodily life: food and drink, house and home, family, good government, health, peace. David is clearly not saying that believers never face hardship. He had. He's confessing that the Lord provides. There were surely nights when David wondered where safety and provision might come from. And yet in the end, he testifies, the Lord was there. Which God will we love above all? Day in and day out, don't we at times set higher affection on some individual, maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend, higher than Jesus? Don't we at times set a greater trust in our own ideas and insights than in God's word? Don't we at times have greater respect and fear for things that might give us earthly excitement or advantages than for the Lord? David was not righteous because he was without sin. We know of some of his failures. His righteousness, like ours, was by faith in the promised Savior. From his own line would come that Christ, the Redeemer, who would bear his sins and ours and establish forgiveness. That is why David could speak with confidence. The righteous are not forsaken because their standing, your standing with God, does not rest on your own perfection, but on God's promise in Christ. Those words are especially precious in uncertain times. We're tempted to trust in what we can see: economic strength, military might, political systems. We're tempted to measure security by visible power. But the first commandment still speaks to us. You shall have no other gods. A God is whatever we fear, love, and trust in above all things. So the question is not whether we have a God, but which God is it? David's testimony invites us, let the Lord be your God. Let him be the one you fear above all things, love above all things, trust above all things. For he who created all things still sustains all things. He knows your needs before you ask. As long as he wills that you remain, he will provide all you really need. And when that truth settles in our hearts, something changes. We become freed from anxious grasping. David says of the righteous, he is ever merciful and lends, and his seed is blessed. The one who trusts God's provision is not consumed with fear over tomorrow. He's free to show mercy today. He becomes, in fact, an instrument through whom God provides for others, confident that the Lord will care for us. He opens his hand to those in need. David also says, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. The law of his God is in his heart. When the Lord is your God, his word shapes your words. Not your own wisdom, not the shifting opinions of the world, but the truth that God has revealed. There are many voices in this world claiming authority, many competing claims about salvation and righteousness, but the child of God returns again and again to what the Lord has spoken. I am the Lord. I tell you the truth. Lord, you instruct me. I will follow your word. That is what it means to fear, love, and trust in him above all things. And then there is the promise of inheritance. God had promised land to Abram's descendants, and in David's day, that promise had been fulfilled. And yet David was looking beyond the earthly territory. Like Abraham, he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God himself. Earthly security passes away. Nations rise and fall. Wealth comes and goes. But the inheritance God gives you in Christ is eternal. So what remains? This confession. I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Not because believers never suffer, nor because they never face danger, but because the Lord holds them, you, in his hands. He provides what is necessary. He forgives your sins. He preserves you through faith. And even when this earthly life ends, he does not forsake you. He brings you into the inheritance that does not fade away. Let the Lord be your God. Fear him above all things. Love him above all things. Trust him above all things. Then you need not live as one abandoned or anxious. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is your strength in the time of trouble, and he will not forsake you who trust in him. Hymn 528, 528, stanzas 1 and 15.